Christ, you're in peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We as humans always get drawn to the bright, sparkly stuff. Now, what we consider bright and sparkly might be different amongst us. We laugh at the talking dog going, ooh, squirrel. But we laugh because our human behavior is not that different. Oh, gullwing Mercedes. Ooh, four beds with a pool. We are so drawn to that stuff that we will base our entire identity around bright, shiny things. So much so that even if we don't understand it or it'll blow up in our face, like day trading or crypto pyramid schemes, if other humans think it is bright and shiny, we will chase after it. And there are two levels of bright and shiny things in our text today. And the first, I think, is actually the most important, if it's the quickest. The overall story, or in the overall story, it's Wednesday of Holy Week. Just as the Shekinah, the presence of God, would leave the temple before its destruction by the Babylonians, the presence of God in Jesus Christ would leave the temple and signal its coming destruction by the Romans. And Jesus has been teaching this group of disciples for 3 years ongoing. But the bright, shiny thing of the temple is still what captures their imagination. As the presence of God is getting up to leave, they call once more to him, Jesus, don't you see this magnificent building? Such large stones and all the centuries of gold offerings hammered onto various places. This is what defines being a Jew. Better to spend a day in these courts than 1,000 elsewhere. As for these things that you see, the days are coming when there will not be one stone left upon another. Think about all the shiny things, the noble stones, the offerings that we build our own identities on. And this is what Jesus says about all of them. The days are coming when not one stone will be left upon another. Our shiny things can be as great as a wonder of the world as that second temple in Jerusalem was supposed to be. And they are all temporal. All of the things that we see, that we think are worth building an identity on, come down. They can be good things, like family. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. They can be pretty lies, like wealth. How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom. They can even be ugly things like various tempting sins. It would be better for him to have a millstone around his neck. If you're building your identity on any of the shiny things that our world lifts up, you have erected an idol in the temple. And all idols will fall, because they are of this world which is now passing away. They are all temporal things. And building an identity on a temporal thing is building upon the sand. the things that are not temporal, are your soul and God the Father. You are the living stones of the new temple that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in. And the Father has placed you on the cornerstone of His Son, Jesus Christ. And in the temple of God, you shall have no other gods before Him. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will receive great loss. The builder will be saved. But like someone barely escaping through a wall of fire, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? That's the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Know how you build. Look with the eyes of faith. Look with the eyes that the Holy Spirit within you gives you. Because today, we might see all kinds of shiny things, but on that day, what the Father sees is revealed to all. Now, that sends the disciples into a panic. And they ask Jesus two questions. The first one is, when will these things be? And the second is, what are the signs that they are about to take place? And I want you to think a bit about those two questions because they are truly different in their aims. One is a question about absolute time. How long do we have? And contrary to what you might think, Jesus gives them an answer. See that you are not led astray. Many will come in my name. Many will say that the time is at hand. You will hear of wars and tumults. Do not be terrified. These things must happen. But the end will not be at once. Jesus doesn't give them or us a date. But he does say it will not be at once. And this is a general experience of the church through the ages. False messiahs come, shining lights on shiny things and leading people astray. Many people have looked at the scriptures and think they have determined the exact time. The time is always now because doomsday is a shiny thing. Every war is the war to end all wars until we find our troops are also in some other foreign outpost. Nations rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms. And they all eventually lay their hands on the church as the great scapegoat for not getting what they want. All of this is the great tribulation. And all of this is our chance to witness. Are the things you are building temporal things? Or are they building on the eternal one? Do you give the pinch of salt to whatever the world demands as good and great? Or do you entrust the hairs of your head to the Alpha and the Omega? Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. is your identity around whatever temple the devil, the world, and your own flesh has elevated? Or is your identity on that cross of Jesus Christ? Because only Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Only in Christ will you gain your lives. The disciples asked, when? And the answer is, long enough. The second question the disciples asked Jesus, to me, is a little more interesting, or it gives way to the type of things that we look at compared to what God looks at. They wanted to know what would be the signs. Maybe you can time things. Now, everything, all of those shiny things that we would normally look at as signs, Jesus has already said, nah, not yet. Even if Jerusalem, the center of the temporal world, would fall, not yet. These things have to happen. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And holy things in this world have always had a rough go. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? We'd like persecutions and martyrdoms and brave heart screams of freedom to be the shiny thing saying the end that God is coming right now. But they aren't. They are simply the signs of a world and its master who knows that his time is short. What are the signs? What are the real ones? They're unmistakable. The sun and the moon and the stars will be wrapped up. The powers that be will be shaken and cast down. And the Son of Man will come on the clouds with power and great glory. If it's the end, you won't miss it. Now, I think there are two things about that which have meaning to us. And the first is you can't time it. If you see those signs, it's already too late. Because today is the day of grace. That day is the day of power and great glory. But how long do you have? Enough time. You have now. Now is the day to build on the rock. Now is the day to find your identity in Christ. But what if I'm not done sinning? That day will come like a thief. When it comes, do we want to see all of our works burn? Escape as through a wall of fire? Or do we wish to straighten up and raise our heads because that day is our day of triumph, because our redemption has drawn near? We get pulled to the shiny things of this world, the things that cause wonder and terror. Jesus' words about them are, do not be afraid. Jesus' words are, your redemption is near. Those are the things that God sees as shiny. If you're not looking with your eyes, but with the eyes of the Spirit, be not afraid. Your redemption is near. Amen.